Yeah, that was actually a bug that was fixed in the later versions. There was no way to repeat a point of interest, to spell a point of interest, or any of that without having to select it first. So that was what you were utilizing was actually a bug in the system. It's supposed to work the way it actually currently works now, where you hit space with R and it'll repeat that point of interest, or you hit space 25 and it'll spell that point of interest, or last look around event, for example, intersection. It's supposed to work that way.
Okay, but I don't think mine does. I mean, I'm sorry I didn't make it clear, but that was my point, that before it worked with an R, it would repeat, and now I can do an R as many times as I want to, and it won't repeat.
It won't repeat what? The turn or the point of interest?
It won't repeat the turn.
That's correct, because the last thing that's spoken is supposed to be repeated, and the last thing that was spoken was the triggered point of interest. So you'd have to get the turn information, you'd have to hit the T or the backspace with dots 2 3, which is the one hand equivalent for a turn command.
Okay, so what you were saying is that it was a bug that it was repeating not the last command, but the previous to the last command.
Correct.
Okay, I get it. Well, it was, I don't know, actually, I like that feature for some reason. But, I mean, now what I do is if I go, to hear a turn and I miss it, then I do kind of a back turn and then go forward again, and then the point of interest doesn't come up.
Well, all you'd have to do is hit your T or your backspace with 2 3, and that will repeat the turn to you without having to go back and forward.
Okay, you said a T or a space 2 3? Okay.
Yeah, either one will work. Space 2 3 is a one-handed command.
Okay, that's good because sometimes that's all we have available is just the one hand. Okay, what about I think nearest waypoint isn't that 5 6?
Your nearest waypoint is N. There is no one-handed that I can remember. There might be. Your current waypoint is dot two or K.
Okay, terrific. Okay, well, all right, well, thanks for that, Chris. And I'm sure I'll be able to come up with something else.
Also, your nearest point, if you are walking along and you hit N for your nearest point, that is going to give you your nearest point, whether it's behind you or in front of you.
And there is currently no way to tell it. Just tell me what's in front of me, not behind me, right?
Because nearest is the nearest point. So if you're walking down the street, for example, and you're going from waypoint 5 to waypoint 6, okay, and they are 300 feet apart. Let's just give an example, 300 feet. They're 300 feet apart, and you're 75 feet from waypoint 5. Your nearest point is going to give you waypoint 5. Now you can do a current waypoint, which is the waypoint that you're trying to get to. In turns only mode, it's your next turn, but in detailed POI mode, it's your next point. In detailed mode, it's your next waypoint.
Okay, got it. Well, that was a good party, by the way. Pretty good turnout. Anyway, I enjoyed myself. I met a few people there, and it was fun.
Yeah, it was fun, and about, oh, I'd say not even an hour after the party was over, I was on my way back home.
Oh, wow. That's I guess that's the way it is. Oh, that was Friday night, so I guess you weren't there at all for Saturday's events, whatever they might have been. Oh no, I did come back for Saturday.
Yeah, no, I was back in Buffalo at 9 o'clock Saturday morning, and I think I slept most of Saturday.
Yeah, CSUN has to be really, really a hard trip on you guys because, first of all, you're on a different time zone, and you, although since you guys are traveling around, you may get a little used to that, but if you add the time difference, then you add all the work that you guys put in, long hours and not sleeping in the same bed that you're used to. There are just so many variables that I got to hand it to you guys. I mean, you guys do a great job and manage to stay focused and keep a pretty good attitude on top of your tiredness.
Well, one thing I know that works for me, and I don't know if it would work for everybody else, but like when I go from New York to California, for example, I leave quite early and I stay up quite late. So if, like, actually Wednesday when I arrived, I didn't go to sleep until 11 p.m. California time, which my body was thinking it was 2 in the morning, but then I woke up at 7 o'clock in the morning and I was just ready to go.
Yeah, well, but like you say, I mean, it works for you, but it wouldn't work for somebody as lazy as me. I'd want to continue sleeping.
There's the troublemaker.
Yeah, you still haven't accepted the file that's on your computer waiting.
Because it's not there.
Well, it's saying waiting for a response.
You may need to send it again because I just logged in.
Okay, so yeah, just run it and create a log and send it to me. And hi, Lalo.
Hey Charles, how are you?
Oh, not bad. Just getting ready to start doing some barbecuing out here.
Oh, well, that sounds like a great idea. Right about now.
Hey, Kevin.
Hello, Scott. Kevin, I just wanted to actually mention too that Sendero has podcasts that are up. If you go to the main site, you'll find a podcast link, and you can add that to your podcatcher.
Is that something that is just added recently, I suppose?
Yep, within the past 2 days or something.
Yeah, I would say that's a little bit recent. And do we know what they cover?
There's one that covers the KNFB reader, just a little demo of it, and there are a couple older ones that we put up. Mike's trip to CES.
I just updated the page on your right-hand side there, so it has podcast and the actual just 4.2 release chat that we had, which is brings back some old too.
Hey there, guys. Sorry about that. I was having microphone trouble.
Yeah, there's a reason for that, but no, I'll tell you about that later.
The only thing with this wireless headset is that I can't actually talk when I'm outside. I have to come back here to press the button. I'm actually outside barbecue now from time to time. Anyway, we're looking over the.
It'd be really nice if you could get rid of the percentages that keep talking, but I haven't figured out how to do that yet.
You go into your JAWS verbosity and turn off progress announcements.
No, I couldn't be bothered. I'll write a script to make it not happen.
So it looks like there's, what, four new podcasts up, Chris?
Yeah, three or four. I can't remember how many. There's a couple of the older ones, and then there's KNFB Reader, and there should be some coming up, as we can do them.
It sounds good. Yeah, I noticed the one about the KNFB Reader and saw the few you had up on your Mystic Place blog.
Oh, yeah, those.
Yeah, I thought the one about the storm was, they were pretty interesting.
Yeah, what do you do with no power but record? Document.
Yeah, exactly. Just hope that your battery doesn't die out on you.
No, he had the PTR too. It lasts for a while. Yeah, it's the quality on that thing's fantastic for recording. But yeah, it's got a pretty good battery life. But what happened if you did run out of power? Because like with your brown light or anything, did you have a generator to charge it?
No, actually, it's kind of interesting. That was like my first week of working with Sendero, and I couldn't do anything because I had no power. But I was using a dial-up connection to communicate with Mike, to give him like daily updates using the Braille note. And a couple times that week, my friend came over with his truck, and we sat in the driveway running a power inverter, charging things like cell phones and Braille notes and things that we would need to keep in touch.
Very good, yes. I don't think some of us know what dial-up is anymore, do we?
Probably not.
Yeah, I'm a bit spoiled from high-speed internet myself. Every time I'm forced to use my cell phone as a modem, it's just dreadful.
I was in Florida, and they had wireless, and but they gave you a choice of wireless or dial-up, and I thought, I wonder which one I'll use.
Yeah, real tough choice.
And you can sit there for hours sort of thinking, gee, would you be better? No. It was the wireless had a bit of a problem. It stopped at 10 o'clock at night. It wouldn't come on until 6 o'clock in the morning.
That's not good.
Yeah, I found a really good restaurant around near the hotel too, GPS, and got halfway there, and the guy who was with me decided he didn't eat Chinese, so he went back to the hotel and I kept going.
Yeah, something like that happened actually with the Wayfind event last year. A bunch of people were hungry, and the four of us decided we wanted Thai food, and there was about maybe 500 or 600 people with us, and they said they didn't want Thai, but about 20 minutes of us being at the restaurant, they all showed up, and pretty much the entire Wayfind group was there, and it was just kind of funny because a lot of them were saying they didn't like Thai food.
But then they have it and say that they love it, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah, Indian's good. Indian's really good. Chinese is good. Although it beats the burgers and things in the States. Every time I've been there, they give you just too much food. But it's good there.
It's always interesting, though, to walk around and find different businesses and things and have look around mode on, so it's telling you what things are around you, and it's nice.
Yeah, I was spoiled, I think, with the GPS coverage in the US, because over here it's pretty good, but it's nowhere near as extensive as it was in LA and Florida when I was there.
Oh, you mean the POI database?
Yeah, yeah. There's parts of Australia that don't actually exist on the map.
There are parts in the US, too, that don't exist either, but...
Yeah, but I think if you look at the parts of the United States that don't exist on the actual map, they're pretty small as compared to probably different countries. And I actually had an experience last week where I was going out to work and turning on the PK and the GPS that morning, and the PK decided to just crash on me. So I tried doing a reset, and it said flash disk unavailable, and I was thinking, oh, great. A day without GPS, and that entire day I realized how valuable and how important GPS is, and just all the information it offers is just invaluable.
Yeah, I mean, when I use it now, you know, like, I kind of think, you know, I walk around and I sort of think, how did I get by without it? I mean, I don't use it all day, every day, but, you know, there'll be times where you just go somewhere and you sort of think, how did I ever find this place before?
You know, and you find yourself, when you're walking, at least I do, I find myself that I don't have to rely on the instructions, meaning I don't have to think about the trip as much. You know, I don't have to count streets or figure out where I am, because it just makes it more enjoyable that you can just go.
And also the fact that if you didn't have GPS, you wouldn't have all the information about all those businesses that are around unless somebody told you. And there's not going to be a person that would exactly tell you every single store, every single street that's around here, and all the street names, all the store names. So it's nice to have all that information, and you're able to problem solve out of it if you get in a predicament.
It's like CD shopping, you know. You go shopping for CDs, and like physically actually going there, and you've got to have someone read everything. Nah, forget it. Just buy them online. But it's the same kind of idea with this. You know, you don't want people telling you everything. But to have all the information is great.
Well, in that situation, Scott, you can take your Canopy reader with you.
Yeah, but the shops don't like you picking up the CDs and, like, you know, holding your phone up to it. They're like, ooh, taking photos, you know. I haven't tried Canopy reader with CDs yet. I've tried it with, you know, with books and manuals and things and menus, but I haven't tried it with CDs.
I tried it with a couple CDs, and it did better on the inside of the CD than the out, so of course in the store you're not going to be able to just rip the CD open and see what it is.
Well, you just got to remember to take a little pair of scissors with you.
And how true is it that it's actually able to read some of these computer screens or LCD screens? I forget which I heard that it's supposed to be able to somehow figure out.
I think there's been some discussion on the accessible phones list that it can read some of the stuff on computer screens to some extent, but just because most of the icons look pretty similar, it's a little tricky, but it's semi-possible.
Yeah, I remember when I saw it in early February, Mike took a picture of his computer screen, and it was Windows Explorer that was open, and you were getting basically dates and times, and that's about all you were getting out of it.
Because I think everything else, like the actual file names, would be it'll probably confuse the actual name with the icons and just throw things off a bit.
Yeah. I have tried it with a computer screen. It works best with things like, message boxes. Like, for example, if you get a Windows error, I have actually tried that when the machine wouldn't start. I've got that to work. It's very difficult. I had to try about 3 times to get to work. But the polarizers is a really interesting story. I mean, I actually used it for a while without the polarizers, and I got pretty good results. But with the polarizers, I get varying results, you know. And I guess, I mean, everyone says to use the polarizers, but it does work without them.
That's supposed to help with the glare for magazines and stuff.
Someone gave me a folder with those plastic sheets in it the other day, and it was all this printed material in the sheet, and the only way to scan it was to get this person to actually use the viewfinder and do it that way. Because no matter how much I did it, I had the polarizers, but no matter how much I tried to scan it, it just told me there was no text there.
It definitely takes some getting used to and practice with it.
Yeah, they're asking us to do something we only ever dreamed of, take photos.
So any exciting GPS stories or adventures?
Yeah, not really. I know over here they're thinking of doing some sort of GPS event, but at the moment they've had one person respond to it, so I hope they get more. But it seems people seem a bit scared, I think. Me along with a few others are trying to get everybody unscared of GPS, but we're getting a few people who are, they get really excited about the concept and then get it and never use it.
I think that's something that happens to some degree here too, just around when people hear what it can actually do. It sounds great, but once they just, I guess the biggest thing is the fact that proper training isn't available. I'm not really sure if it's training or if it's lack of motivation or what's happening, but it's happening to some degree here.
Yeah, I think it's both. Over here, there's just they'll give you 2 hours training, if you choose to have it for up to 12 months after you've got it. But I don't know sort of how comprehensive the training is, because I mean the people over here who sell it, they're just salespeople. They use it, you know, to demo to people. They don't use it sort of all the time, from what I can gather anyway.
Well, I still think it's going to take a little bit of time to get people unused to the idea that it's a toy and it's not a, you know, anything that shouldn't, you know, the people that travel all the time should have it, and that's not necessarily the case.
Yeah, I mean, it was fantastic, and, you know, when I did my traveling, I went to the UK, used it there, went to the US, used it there, and it just, you know, got me out of some, you know, sort of ugly situations where otherwise I sort of would have been going around thinking, well, where am I going? Yeah, it's that factor of, you know, of people see it and they think, oh, this sounds cool, but it's just understanding that it's more than, like, and also you're getting, you know, the odd people who get it who don't necessarily have great mobility skills either.
Yeah, I guess actually that's probably the biggest thing, just understanding what you can actually do in more or less practical terms and having the proper skills to utilize it to its benefits. But like I have that feeling quite a bit, just like the difference of when I didn't have the GPS that day in San Francisco as opposed to the days when I do have it. I have that feeling of with GPS, you know for sure if you're lost or not, so you can just hit a key and you're way off track, or if you're on track, as opposed to without it, you're kind of, am I going the right way or am I not, but I managed to get around that day.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's that factor of making sure people know that it's not a mobility replacement. It's an aid, you know, rather than a complete replacement. It goes in conjunction with your skills you've already got. You've still got to have good skills and be able to listen for traffic and things like that, because otherwise, well, forget it.
Sometimes people think it's going to keep you on the sidewalk.
It's definitely not going to keep you on the sidewalk, and I've done that a few times where walking on the talking on the phone, listening to the GPS, and a bit tired to begin with, and veered off the sidewalk a few times, but the GPS didn't tell me I went off the sidewalk. And I guess the other thing people expect, too, is that it'll tell you if there's some obstacle ahead of you, or there's a manhole, or if there's construction happening, and really doesn't tell you that type of stuff ahead of time. You have to know it, and you can put it in, but it's not the same.
Well, when I was walking around my neighborhood last summer doing some stuff, I was walking up to some lady. I was walking, you know, there was a couple that was walking towards me. And they're like, oh, we didn't know those things talked. And I says, yeah, I says, they do. And she goes, well, would it tell you if I'm in front of you? I says, when I run into you, well, I'll figure out that you're in front of me.
Sounds like a good answer. Hopefully she laughed.
Yep, she did.
This sounds fantastic. Everyone sounds like they're, on slow speed.
Must be an internet connection because that was not slow speed.
You sound fantastic. I've never heard all you people sound like you come out of Star Wars.
Was that Scott talking? Didn't sound like Scott.
Not really sure who that was.
Yeah, it was me.
You sound like you, oh, wow. I don't know. Helium?
I was just thinking that helium.
Yeah, it sounds like helium on double speed.
Well, you guys sound the opposite.
That is so wild. that's funny. Sorry, Scott. We're laughing at your expense now, because you sound like Alvin and the Chipmunks.
Yeah, and I was noticing before this happened that every other time that Scott would speak, there was a kind of a clicking behind his voice, like he was driving. He had his turning indicators on. It was like going every so often, and it happened not every time you spoke, but every other time.
It might be the microphone he's using.
This microphone's very expensive.
Everybody else is coming out normal.
Well, you can look at it this way, Scott. You just put yourself back to your teenage years. So this might have been how you sounded when you were 13 or 14.
Yeah, I'm not sure what's going on, Scott, but it sounds like you're sucking helium in on double speed.
Well, you guys all sound slow, like really, really, really slow.
There must be something with your internet connection. It's like, that's really weird that we would sound really slow to you and you're at double speed. So I don't know how that could happen, like with the packets, as far as, you know, maybe a time synchronization got screwed up or something. And it's delaying packets that shouldn't be delayed for some reason.
But the interesting thing is it was working fine earlier.
I know, it's totally weird. I've never seen this happen before, that we would be slow to you and you're like Alvin and the Chipmunks to us, so that's pretty funny.
It could be a distance from here to Australia.
Actually, I've heard this happen, but not with this software. I mean, I've heard it happen with Skype, and we're probably talking Skype maybe 2.5 or something, where I was talking to my brother and he sounded a couple of octaves higher than he normally sounds, but I sounded okay to him, but this I'd never heard of. It's weird, but interesting too.
I've actually talked to Skype a fair amount on Skype, and we never had this happen.
It's fixed now, I think.
It's fixed.
Well, you grew up again. You got your manly voice again.
Yeah, okay, you guys all sounded like you were, you know, the how you can play all the audio at slow speed. You all sounded like that. Every single one of you.
Sound like you're on double speed.
I hope this is being archived.
Oh, archived? Uh-huh.
Good. See, you can come back and listen to yourself. Anyway, guys, I'm going to jump out of here. Kevin, Scott, Chris, and Charles, enjoy your barbecue. And I'll probably be on here next week if I remember to come back. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Have a good one.
Take care, Layla.
See ya.
That'd be interesting to go back and listen to the archive of this.
Yeah, I want to hear the archive now. I'm a bit scared, but I'll listen to it.
I guess the interesting is, we'll see if it comes out to what you were hearing or what we were hearing. If you were at double speed or if we were all at slow speed.
I don't think Chris was actually recording it, though.
I would bet that it would be double speed.
Yeah, I would think so.
Yeah, I think it will be. It'll probably be double speed. But the archiver isn't showing up as recording. What are you recording it in?
That was to you, Chris.
Yeah, I was actually looking to see if it was recording, and it is recording. It's just going to... there's no special archive account or anything. It's just going to the recording option and turning it on and, you know, when I log in.
Oh, because normally we see a little save button beside you, and I don't see it.
The recording option is checked.
It normally says next to your name, recording or something to that effect. Oh, well, if it's recording, it's recording.
All right, I'm out of here, guys. You guys take care.
Andy forgot to send me my invitation to his barbecue.
Yeah, I'd like one. Come on. I mean, you know, we're all sitting here, you know, doing nothing. You should invite us all.
Exactly.
Come on over. We got lots of food.
I'm only about an hour away from San Jose, so.
He'll have to organize tickets for us.
Well, I think I might get going too. I'll talk to you guys next week.
Yep. Have a good one then, everybody.
See ya.
See you later.